Mike Murray in the Skyline Studios. It's time for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Ryan O'Halloran is the Chief Technology Officer at a company called Access One, and he joins us now for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Ryan, great to have you back on the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Hey, explain to people what Access One is, first of all.
Sure, no problem. So Access One's a technology success provider. Really what we do is we try to take the plethora of different solutions that are out there from, you know, what's in the cloud and what's security concerns and all the connectivity in between down to your users day to day that just need help, best support. And we just try to make the best possible experience for them.
I love that you dumb it down for guys like me. What is the number one question companies ask you when they hire you guys?
It's very cybersecurity focused. It's about how do I prepare, and with so much going on, how do I prioritize? Because I only have so much money and so much time.
How do you prioritize? How do you do that?
You know, that's one of the things that I think we add the most value with. So as consultants, what we do is there's actually frameworks out there that we utilize that are blueprints of the good things to do. And what I find is now when I go out to customers' environments, they've spent, you know, years doing a lot of preventative and resistive controls, you know, putting in firewalls and antivirus and things like that. But what they haven't focused on is where we're at today. It's the responsive phase. You know, we now have to respond to things. It's the normal. I think it's 75% of businesses that get incidents, you know, pretty much every single day. So it's more than the norm.
Yeah.
So because you can't stop it, what you need to do is become resilient. And those are the gaps that I'm trying to fill for my customers. How do we respond and recover with the least, you know, loss in those particular events, and then learn from those events so we can get better moving forward?
My visual is you have a back room at Access One, and it's very dark, and there you got about 20 guys, and they just try to come up with ideas that's, you know, that'll stop these breaches. Am I right or wrong?
You're not far off. Yeah, everyone's trying to tackle it. You know, it's an insurmountable task. So what we really try to do is stay on top of the pulse, you know, as much as we can, because the rhythm and cadence is just so intense. But, you know, we stay in the mix and we stay informed. And then we just make sure that we bring that to our customers so that they're as prepared as they possibly can be.
We're talking with Ryan O'Halloran. He's the Chief Technology Officer at Access One. I mean, we hear about breaches all the time. How do you prepare for a breach? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, but how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, so this is the big thing. So there's a few factors to this, right, to demonstrate kind of due care for those incidents. One is with security awareness training. So that's something that a lot of businesses have actually, you know, gotten into over the past year or two, where they fake phish, you know, their users with the fake emails and things like that, so that they can really get them used to this happening all of the time in the culture. And then that way you can learn from it and just kind of be hyper aware of it to where it almost becomes intuitive. The other things that you can do are really about having actual plans to respond. So one of the number one things with written policies, a lot of organizations have what you would call a disaster recovery plan, right? And that's a procedure to restore the systems technically and things like that. Incident response is a different animal. It's not technical at all. It's about, you know, how do you maintain good communication to the public, the stakeholders, the technical folks, the end users, right, so that it's not complete chaos. And there's a method to that madness, and you can test. So one of the things that we do for businesses specifically is we go in and do what's called a tabletop exercise. And it's a very kind of informal process where you sit down and you talk through one of these incidents and actually practice.
Oh, wow.
And it's very easy, you know, half hour, hey, this happens, imagine we got this malware, what do you do? And someone will go and say, well, I'll go immediately and unplug the computer. And then I'll explain, well, no, you don't want to do that. Disconnect it from the network, but don't shut it off.
Right.
Because you're actually not preserving the evidence that we need to learn from this, right?
Right.
And
right.
that one little sliver of something different makes a difference.
Well, do companies nowadays budget for this, for cybersecurity?
They do, and it's not enough. You know, it used to be like something like 4% when no one really, you know, cared about it and it wasn't in the mix. IBM states you should be spending about 14% of your IT budget, yet only 14% of businesses in general spend more than 10%. So we're a little bit in the middle on that, and that's the tough part. Is it's very expensive,
yeah,
but it's also now a requirement. And then now that it requires the business culture to change, where you're socializing it and you've got to get the business guys involved. I mean, there's only so much time and money to go around, and I think that circles back to the priority piece, you know, because they need the right amount of security for them. And in some cases, you can go crazy and spend all the money on this stuff. And even though you have all these mature controls, you got to look at what your actual risks are. You know, otherwise it could actually be not a good thing or a bad business decision to be too control heavy or have too much security when you haven't actually looked at where your business risks are. And that's kind of the problem I think we come in and try to solve is, you know, identify what's reasonable and what can make the biggest impact with the time and the money you do have. And then just, you know, tie that to a life cycle.
Right. I mean, if I'm a business owner, I would think that cybersecurity would be my number one concern. I'd be worried about payroll, emails. I mean, just about everything.
Yeah, they are. And that's kind of the interesting thing is we've really changed from just implementing the fences and the locked doors now to, like I said, really getting an understanding of risk. Like we can't just run vulnerability assessments anymore. We have to actually quantify what the risk might look like for the business. And that's a risk analysis, not a risk assessment. And you got to kind of blend the two together to get a real picture of, you know, what can I do to really protect you, Mr. Customer?
Right,
you know,
right.
And they have to understand it in a way where it's not technical. They understand the risk. They can identify with it. And then, you know, they can then work with us to make an informed decision because somebody gave them enough information to do so.
Well, I'm going to have you hold on for a second because I love that you bring it down to layman's terms. I'm going to have you walk me through the process after a company's breach because we have business owners that are listening right now. I just want you to take me through the process. So I'm going to take a quick break. We're talking to Ryan O'Halloran. He's the Chief Technology Officer at Access One. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch at 720 WGM. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. Ryan O'Halloran, the Chief Technology Officer at Access One, a cybersecurity company, is on the phone with us. We're talking cybersecurity. Ryan, I just got a text from 219 area code. I work for a small school corporation. We now have a cybersecurity rider on our liability and insurance. 2,000 kids on your network is a big risk. I mean, you think about sure. Kids, think about a small company that have all these employees on their network.
Yeah. Yes.
Same thing. You got to protect people. All right. I want you to walk me through the process after a company is breached. So they call you up. You guys come in. What happens?
Sure. So there's definitely a management process for the incident. So aforementioned, we talked about the preparation phase, right? So preparing is key to how that actually goes down. The second phase is really identification, right? So what we do is there's a lot of confusion between what is an incident and what is a breach, right? You hear about the breaches all the time, which is when data is actually exfiltrated, right? It's actually pulled away from the environment and taken by somebody else to do something malicious with. Incidents are not necessarily breaches, and those are things where you get a ransomware attack, where they try to hold you hostage. They haven't stolen any data from you. They're just trying to, you know, basically do business with you and profit off of this from a cyber crime, right? So what we try to do really is understand the magnitude first of what is this? Is it really a breach? Well, hold on a second. Maybe it's not. You know, it may just be an incident that's unusual. It may be adverse, right? So we really got to identify what we're dealing with.
Right.
And that's a delicate phase because a lot of times in the identification, you have to be careful to not elude the attacker of the fact that you're trying to assess the situation. Otherwise, they might back out and you might miss an opportunity. Then the next phase is really the containment. So what we do is then we go in and determine what type of containment strategy is necessary. And this is where I talk about risks a lot, right? So a short-term containment is, okay, let's find where the whack-a-mole is and let's whack all the moles and try to, you know, minimize the impact. But in some situations, when you're under an attack, it actually would be worse for a business's productivity loss to shut down and clean it up. So sometimes they actually have to keep running while they figure out what's going on and maybe build an environment in parallel or do something else to be able to, to get out of it unscathed. And, you know, I think that's the flip side of it that you don't hear talked about. That's very complicated choice to make. You know, there's some IT security engineers that are like, let's get on this. And the business owners are like, hell no. You know, we're going to wait, you know, so for a minute until we really understand. So that's why, you know, getting the details and having a forensic investigation, that's really the next part. And then once you truly understand it, then it's eradication, right? Now we go in, whatever process we need to do to clean it up, you know, whether that's wiping out all the data in the environment and restoring from a backup,
right,
rebuilding it from scratch. It really depends on what the customer has. But that's where the preparation piece comes in, because if you have a solid backup, you can rewind to before this happened. And, you know, depending on how aggressive your windows are for backing up, it didn't, as far as the technology is concerned, it didn't happen. You know, you literally rewind it to prior, so there's nothing to clean up. And that's a great way to attack it. Now, if you don't have the luxury of that, then it can become a little bit more difficult, because you don't really know then, you know, what's going on.
When you were when you were going through this process, I was thinking to myself, why wouldn't a company have the backup? What would be the reasoning not to have the backup?
You know, it's kind of, this is the crazy part. So that's where technology is at right now. Like I said, it's all about the recovery process,
right,
and how fast you can get back up and running. A lot of organizations do have some type of backup, but the business owner themselves does not understand how quick they can get back up, right? So there has to be an upfront conversation that says, here's the spectrum of how much data you can lose and how quick you can get back online. And based on that spectrum and your risk, what is financially the right thing to do to mitigate that risk? And the way that technologies are now, it's like, you know, I run into some businesses that are still on tape. You're looking at days for recovery, and those tapes aren't necessarily, you know, they're not tested. You can't test them in production. I mean, the technologies now, you know, you have a little appliance or a little box that lives on site. If you have something happen, even if the whole thing has a utility failure, you could spin everything up on the other box sitting right next to it and go back to work, take a maintenance window later, you know, but without knowing that that's there, you know, you get this false sense of comfort. And unfortunately, after, you know, a lot of situations after we come in, that lesson gets learned the hard way, or even worse, the customer never got an opportunity to make that decision for themselves. And that's why that's so important to tie that in, man. You can kind of see how that's the case.
I mean, my head is just spinning thinking about this. I'm nervous, and I don't even own a company. I can't imagine being a business owner. Your sweet spot is what? Access One, is it medium-sized businesses? What is your sweet spot?
Yeah, we'll do small and medium business. So we do really well in the, the small business that needs that enterprise high-level touch where they really are approaching cybersecurity and business technology the way that larger businesses have resources for financially and their staff and things like that.
Right.
Well, the small businesses now are the targets of the attack, you know, and that's because they're pivot points to the larger data and the larger business, because they're less secure and they don't realize that they can be a pivot point and what type of liability they have. Right. So that's, you know, that's kind of the thing, is you really have to identify what really are the concerns so that you can address them properly.
Right. We're talking with Ryan O'Halloran, the Chief Technology Officer at Access One for the Wintrust Business Lunch. How about certification? Is certification a big deal in your industry?
It is. You know, it is. I get asked that question all the time, and it's such an interesting thing because, so unfortunately, the pool of talent is extremely shallow right now in cybersecurity. And there's a few reasons for that. One of the reasons is we're not set up really from a scholastic standpoint to really get into cybersecurity because of the pace of it. You know, I do this for a living and it's difficult for me to keep up
right. Doing
it for a living on the job
yep. And
being, you know, literally required to do that full time. So as you can imagine, trying to create a curriculum, push it through, you know, and by the time you talk about it, there's something else going on. And that's the difficult part. The other side of it is the cybersecurity certifications that are really sought after. A lot of people don't realize you can't just sign up. A lot of them actually require that you already have on the job experience and that you've demonstrated experience in those areas for 4 or 5 years, sometimes longer.
Okay.
You know, and that can be an equivalent to having a degree plus that and things like that. So a lot of these opportunities, you know, to get this level of knowledge require kind of that you already have something. It's very difficult to have the, you know, we think of it like this. We want to have the education and then get the job. And the way it's kind of set up is you got to have the job to get the education. So you start, you know, early on in like engineering and stuff like that. And, sure. You know, I know that's backwards, but, you know, it's tough. And that's one of the biggest challenges we deal with, you know, is hiring and fostering talent because it's tough to find, you know, and everybody's looking for it. So you really have to have a strategy on how can, you know, you foster, you know, these new guys that are coming up to give them that education and that career path to get into the know.
I'm sure. And, you know, we talked about business breaches. Before you go, what should we be looking out for as individuals? I'm sure phishing scams are the number one. And explain real quick, we have about a minute left, what phishing scams sure. are and what we can do as individuals to protect ourselves.
Yeah, so there's two main types of attacks. So for phishing, you know, that's a false sense of enticement, right? They're trying to either get information to get data from somewhere else or get information from you for whatever reason, transfer money, things like that. So just be very careful. You know, I think people are more aware now with the training and stuff like that, that, you know, don't click on things. If someone's asking you for money because that business owner's out of town, don't do it. Give them a call, that type of stuff. But there's another type of attack here called injection, SQL injection. And really simply and really quickly what that is all these web applications and everything in the cloud, they're vulnerable beyond what even the person who made that software is aware of. And a Secret Service guy actually did a presentation and told me, he goes, here's a SQL injection. Imagine an elder kid wakes up in the morning, writes on a post-it, Mom, we're out of this, this, and this groceries. Please go to the grocery store. And that's the intended thing you want to get done. Then the little brother comes out and sneaks in and says, and get candy. that's a SQL injection, right? There was an unintended instruction. And unfortunately, we're so vulnerable to that because of how quick things are moving that the sites and the things that we're creating to try to take advantage of all this technology and do it sooner,
right.
We're not spending the time on security. So there's those two things. So get a, you know, if you're a business, get a security seated in your development team because cybersecurity is really not as much there. And if you're an individual user, just be very careful what you click on and what you see.
The website is AccessOneInc.com. Ryan O'Halloran, Chief Technology Officer at Access One. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime. I look forward and hope to do it again.
All right. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. News is next. It's 720 WGN.